This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, the news is still very full of the events of yesterday with, of course, that wonderful picture of Greta being handed a pastrami sandwich by an unidentified IDF soldier. It's absolutely obvious that that's an IDF soldier who's handing her a sandwich. And of course, the army have gone out on social media and changed the pastrami sandwich in the case of the Jerusalem municipality to a bagel, because they felt that that would be more appropriate and reflect our culture more. There were some people who suggested that she might have deserved IDF battle rations rather than a pastrami sandwich. But her facial expression in the particular situation kind of, I think it was an ideally taken picture. And whoever was responsible for that picture really deserves all the accolades that they can get. But when we look back on the events of yesterday, which could potentially have been a disaster, public relations catastrophe, it's incredible to see how cleanly and efficiently the whole operation was mounted. There was no violence involved. There were no threats. There were no issues. The Navy cleanly managed to get to the individuals concerned and gave them food and welcomed them and took them off to Ashdod, and the boat was brought back. And of course, the individuals were then taken on land. And as I mentioned yesterday, were given the chance to watch a video of the events of October the 7th. And some people are saying, well, is that a suitable punishment for people who break the law and who try to invade our territory and to try to create chaos and a little bit of upheaval, more upheaval than we need right now? Is that an appropriate punishment to hand to them? And I think it's a relevant question. However, what then transpired, I think, really made the whole effort worthwhile. Because while some of them did agree to watch the video, some of them refused. Therein, I think, lies the real logic and someone's brain was really working well, because the fact that some of them have actually refused to watch that video says so much.
Absolutely. Closing your eyes. Closing your eyes is the perfect symbol. You know, closing your eyes to a movie, to the footage of October 7th is the perfect symbol of the approach, because they are closing their eyes to Hamas atrocities.
So I think with the benefit of hindsight, it was a very, very smart move to offer this. Nobody was forced, but it was offered, and some refused. And we know who they are, and we can draw our own conclusions about why it is that they've decided not to come face to face with the realities of what happened on October the 7th. Of course, I'm sure that they will say, oh, this is all trumped up and not real and manufactured for the purposes. I'm sure that that will probably be the narrative that they will use. But we all know what lies behind this. Just a refusal to be willing to face up to the realities of what happened. And then they were all advised that they would be deported. Some of them, again, refused to cooperate with the deportation process. And as is the case in any regular democracy, they will be brought before courts. So again, it's an opportunity for Israel just to demonstrate that there is a democratic system that works here. If you cooperate, you will get free passage back to the country from which you came, where you I think it's the country of citizenship that they will all be deported back to, and those who refuse to cooperate with the deportation will go through due process. So I think all of that has been incredibly well handled. And the most important thing, I think, was just the low level of media coverage. The boat was brought back to our store. There were no cameras. There was no fanfare. You know, there was nobody standing by filming. I think it was all done very much under the radar, low level, even though clearly it caught the media attention. It was always going to be difficult to avoid that. But ultimately, I think it was well done. And some people are saying this is in spite of Defense Minister Yisrael Katz coming out and making those public statements, which were highly criticized in some quarters. But I think overall, when we look back on all those events,
it's interesting. I thought it did pretty well.
I think that the military were very unhappy with him making public statements about their plans, about their operations,
right,
and that they wanted to try and do it without making it public before it actually happened. But as I say, it doesn't seem to have detracted from their ability to carry out the operation as they had planned, and it all went very cleanly. And I think we can really give credit to those who deserve credit in this case, because I think it's been an incredible operation all the way around.
So absolutely right. Let's talk about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's conversation last night with President Trump. I have to tell you, I got a bit nervous last night because I started reading about that this round of the Iranian talks hadn't succeeded. Then you get this phone call, then you get the war cabinet meeting, and then silence. I got a bit nervous. What is going on?
Well, the truth is that we sort of felt the same way as you did, the way that you've just set out the course of events and the process that happened yesterday. We were all wondering whether Israel was planning last night to carry out some sort of attacks against Iran.
Yeah, so that
and
was
let's
my fear.
Also mm. add, yeah, so let's also add into the mix the fact that the president of the International Atomic Energy Agency has come out again saying that Iran is very, very close to the ability to produce 10 nuclear warheads. They don't have them quite ready yet, but apparently they have sufficient uranium and they can very, very quickly turn these into warheads. Then we also add into the mix the Iranian statements that have come out over the last few days that they claim to have managed to steal documentation relating to Israel's nuclear facilities, and they have threatened that if Israel attacks Iran's nuclear facilities, that Israel should expect the same in return, and that they should expect an attack on Israel's nuclear facilities. Now, you know, the whole subject of Israel's nuclear facilities has been very much blurred, because Israel has never formally admitted to having nuclear capabilities. We all know that it's the worst kept secret known to mankind. We all know where the nuclear reactor is. We've even seen signs up on the road saying that there is a nuclear research facility somewhere in the central part of Israel. So this is one of the worst kept secrets, even though Israel's never formally owned up to having a nuclear capability. And according to the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, what the Iranians claim to have stolen in terms of documentation relating to Israel's nuclear industry is really about some research facility rather than the nuclear production facility itself, which we all know is located in the area of Dimona. And, you know, that's already not a secret, even though, as I've said before, Israel has not owned up to it. So Iran has come out threatening Israel that if we attack their nuclear facilities, we should expect the same in return. We had this 40-minute conversation last night between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump, which had a readout afterwards, which was very, very benign and almost inconsequential. I mean, it didn't really cover anything at all. We know that the nuclear talks are going on in the background. We add in some speculation that Iran is involved somehow in the hostage negotiations. And that came as a little bit of a surprise to me when I read it in one of the Israeli papers, where they've said, you know, that President Trump has indicated that the issue of the hostage negotiations, and in particular the idea of trying to free the hostages, some of them or all of them, in return for a ceasefire in Gaza, apparently has even reached the level of Iran. We know that Steve Witkoff and Dr. Bachbach are negotiating, and apparently the two of them don't agree on the proposal that the Americans wanted to put forward to Hamas to somehow try to secure something. So the Iranians, I don't know, seem to have their fingers in this particular pie as well. And all of that points to a very, very complex and convoluted and dangerous situation in terms of what might transpire if Israel were to attack Iran. Also, the question about whether the US would be able to support Israel if necessary, because we do know that some of the US's military capabilities have been moved away from this area. They had some aircraft carriers that were in the Red Sea area and that have apparently now left that Red Sea area, so they're not there anymore, even though we do still know that in Diego Garcia, which is the US airbase, there is a lot of firepower that's available that could take off, and Iran is certainly within their distance, the ability to reach from Diego Garcia if need be. So this conversation, like you, Howard, caused a lot of consternation. People were wondering whether we would be running to bomb shelters, speculation about whether people would be told to be more cautious ahead of a potential retaliation from Iran, others thinking that there's no possible way that we would be advised as the citizens of Israel, because that would potentially expose the plan. It would be too public, and that would potentially ruin the surprise element of an attack if it is indeed carried out. But I think there is the latest that we understand is that President Trump said something like there will be another round of talks between the US and Iran over the weekend. Some people are speculating that there will be a meeting even as soon as Thursday between the US and Iran. And the current status is that Iran should the ball is currently in Iran's court for them to respond to a US proposal, which they haven't done yet, but they've said they will do soon. So all of this is really starting to get a little bit more interesting and potentially a little bit more threatening in terms of what Israel might choose to do with Iran. But I guess we'll just have to see how all of this pans out, because having thrown all of those bits into this discussion, we have no possible way of resolving them and pulling all the strands together right now, because it's just right in the middle of all the mix, and we'll have to just see how the next few days pan out.
Indeed. The IDF spokesperson has issued a warning to three ports in Yemen. That was yesterday. What's the story here? How was that received?
So it was quite unusual for the IDF spokesperson or the Arabic speaking spokesperson from the IDF, who's become something of a celebrity in the Arab world, Avichai Drahi. He is now extremely well known in the Arab world because of the messages that he sent out, numerous messages over the course of this war, giving instructions to civilians in particular as to how they should behave and what they should be doing, of course, all in the Arabic language. And people have created numerous memes about Avichai, and when Avichai speaks, people listen, and all that kind of stuff. And it's really quite ironic, because all of this is coming from a lieutenant colonel in the IDF, who is the Arabic language spokesperson. But this time around, yesterday, he issued warnings to the ports of Ras Isa, Al Hudaida, and Al Salif. They are all ports in Yemen. And he issued warnings to all of the civilians there to leave the area immediately. That was the warning that he issued, and he asked them all to leave. And usually that means that the IDF will attack that area imminently. That's the way that this usually plays out. And for those people who talk about genocide and who talk about Israel wanting to kill civilians indiscriminately, Avichai is the beacon of he's the example and the evidence that there is no genocide and there is no want or desire to harm civilians, because he has been one of the busiest guys in the IDF, issuing statements and issuing warnings to civilians all over the world, in Gaza and in Lebanon and in the West Bank area, and now in Yemen, to civilians to get out of an area that will imminently become a war zone. So I think that, you know, for those people who wish to believe, you'll believe and you'll understand. And for those listeners who weren't sure, please do take note of Avichai and the role that he has played in this war in order to try to prevent civilian casualties. I mean, there can be no clearer indication and evidence of Israel's intentions when they, before they carry out an attack, go out and warn people to get out of the area. I don't know of any other war in history where that approach has been taken to clear civilians out and to therefore advise the enemy that something is imminent. It's like it ruins all of your surprise attacks, but all in the interests of trying to save civilians and to prevent the possibility of civilian casualties. We were expecting, as a result of that, those warnings that were issued yesterday by Avichai, that the IDF was planning to attack Yemen last night, even though there were some reports this morning that the port of Al-Hudaydah was attacked. We understand that that's not the case and that no attacks have been carried out last night, but it doesn't prevent the possibility of attacks being carried out today during the broad daylight. It has happened before, or potentially tonight. I don't think that Avichai would have asked the civilians to vacate an area if the IDF didn't have some intention of getting involved there. So I think that we should still watch the space, because I'm expecting that there will probably be some action in the area of those three ports over the coming day or two.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth reminding our listeners that the slogan of the Houthis is "Death to Israel, curses on Jews." So they leave. There's no room for misinterpretation there. Members of the governing coalition have been disagreeing on the matter of support for militias in Gaza. I know it's a bigger story. We don't have very much time at all, but just give us a very short overview here.
Well, it is a bigger story, and I think that the story is more about the militias in Gaza than the fact that members of the coalition are disagreeing. But I think it's worth just making listeners aware of the fact that there is a militia that has sort of been nominated and has been active in Gaza, and we've seen them over the last week or two protecting those food distribution centers where it was very controversial as to how those would be policed. And in the end, it was decided it would not be appropriate for IDF troops to police them, and it wouldn't be appropriate for Hamas militia to police them. So what do we do? How do we secure those areas? And lo and behold, up pops a group which is headed by a leader called Yasser Abu Shabab. Let's know his name, because I think that we're going to hear a lot about Yasser Abu Shabab over the coming weeks and months. He has put a group of militia together. They are the ones who've been policing these food distribution points. And we understand now that the Israeli government has actually been arming some of them. So this militia has arisen with the support of the Israeli government, and indeed with arms that have been given to them by the Israeli government in order to allow them to arm these food distribution centers. We will see how Yasser Abu Shabab and his guys get on further. But we understand that they're even in the process of trying to set up some governing government institutions, some civilian institutions around the militia, to potentially replace Hamas. Maybe that is the plan for the day after. Maybe they are the guys who might have been designated to pick up leading Gaza in the future. We will see.
We will indeed, Anthony Reich. Thank you as always. It is 8:01. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning for the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.